15 minutes before 5 on a Tuesday downtown. This is not normal message in the bottle music, but there is
it
a
might
reason.
Become that.
Yes.
Because it's a very important album to me.
It's Box Week.
That's right. Anybody know this song? First single? Man in the Box. So we're talking, well, it's Musar Week, but we're talking boxes. And plus, frankly, I mean, a little Alice in Chains at this time of the day. If anybody just had the kind of drive over anywhere that I just had over here, you need yourself a little Alice in Chains. So you're welcome. You're welcome.
There you go.
Hi, everybody. So I'm back from my mini vacation. Rich and I were just chatting. My family and I got out of Dodge for a couple of days. It was wonderful. Just after my last segment with all of you. Hope you all had a nice weekend. Things are thawing quickly. That's nice. I'm sure your shoes are all as mud stained as mine are. That's cool.
Yes.
But yeah, so we're talking boxes and shipping. There's a couple of topics I thought I'd touch on today, including one that's kind of recently in the news, at least in sort of my industry news, and it will affect each and every one of you. So I thought we'd kind of talk about that. But the first thing that we've been talking all month about how the blessed fermented juice gets to you, because really isn't that the relevant part? I can talk until I'm blue in the face, but until you can taste this good stuff, it really is, has no meaning. So we talked first, of course, about traditional glass bottles and how, glass bottles kind of became the vessel of choice, and when cork started to get used. And then we talked a little bit about a lot of the artificial closures last week that you can see in wine and things that you have to kind of get over, some stigmas that are, definitely still out there in the world of wine. And of course, boxed wine, is there a greater stigma than boxed wine? So I always want to dedicate a little time every go around the world of wine to boxed wine and what you're going to see out there now versus what you all probably, got used to seeing, your various Franzia boxes and stuff. But where does it come from? And originally, the tradition, if any of you have been to places in Europe where wine is a very much part of the local agricultural, scene, very often there will be a village co-op or something, and you'll hear tales, or indeed maybe you have gone to a local concern and filled up a jug of wine, the local juice, the local swill, as it were, and paid, next to nothing for it, and come back and said to me, "Well, Eric, I had this great local wine and it cost me next to nothing." Right. But that's sort of part of the thing there. It's basically buying wine in bulk. The French call it en vrac. And it's, it's because wine there is basically like salt and pepper is here. It's just kind of like on the table. And, even little kids have a little bit of wine, maybe diluted with some water, and maybe not, depending on how much the parents can stand or not. And again, it's a very normal thing, which leads to, frankly, a much healthier and attitude towards wine than just, only getting to drink it when you're 21, etc. But that's topic for another story, another time rather. So why are we talking about, putting wine in boxes and shipping? And well, first of all, glass is very expensive to make, and it's very heavy, which means when you ship it, you're paying for some of that liquid and a lot of glass, and then air around that glass to protect the glass. That's obviously not the most cost-effective thing in the world, and obviously you're shipping, from the winery. You're shipping glass bottles to the winery that are empty. Then they're going to turn around, sanitize them, turn them around with liquid. So you're just doing a lot of this and that and the other thing. So a lot of folks are, for other markets especially, and now just starting to see in America, they put their wine in boxes, especially their lower-end wine, their everyday wines. And I always talk about this experience I had in Beaujolais a couple of years ago, 2014, and wonderful winery. I mean, you couldn't call this anything but a small family winery in Beaujolais. But as we were walking through, I happened to see he had his wine boxed, and we don't get it boxed in America. And I said, "Why are we not seeing that in America?" And he said, "Well, Americans don't want boxed wine." And I said, "I do. I mean, I think it's brilliant." And why do you want boxes? Well, it's sort of the same thing as you're seeing this phenomenon going back towards cans and beer. It doesn't oxidize like the the bag it's in, it collapses in on itself. So the oxygen doesn't get in there. And if you finish half of a bottle of wine, obviously I don't need to tell you that you go back the next day and it very well might have lost a, you know, little fruit, little acidity. That doesn't happen in boxed wine. I've had boxed wine that's been open for months and it still tastes good. And then there's no light that's hitting it at all. I mean, even in, you know, tinted bottles, there's still a little light, not here. So it's really great. And also typically the cost of it is extraordinarily good. You get, typically in the, your 3 liter box, which we have an example of here today, you get 4 bottles for about, you know, the cost of 4.5 bottles worth for the price of about 2.5 bottles. Which, you know, we're in Bangor, we're all frugal folks. So, I mean, that seems to make a lot of sense to me. That's sort of the thing about boxed wines. And you are, the wine we're doing today is, La Vieille Ferme. So of course, one of my favorite Southern Rhone, wine families, the Perrinat family. This is their everyday, vin de pays that you can see, even in some supermarkets and stuff like that. It's extraordinarily tasty and very accessible. And they put, the red and also the rosé, yes, as we're now in spring, in boxes, and it's delicious. And
I've had this 3 or 4 times in the last year. It's wonderful.
It's always so good, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's the sort of wine. I mean, this is the entire reason why I admonish people to have a little bit of wine around, because you might decide, you know what, honey, I'm exhausted. I'm going to get pizza. Do we have, some red around? With something like this, you've got the red around. Mm-hmm. It's there. It's great. And, of course, like we get, into warmer weather, do we have some rosé around? I'm clamoring for a bottle of rosé all the time. And then there's other great, a lot of Portuguese wineries are doing this. A lot of Spanish, really the Iberian Peninsula actually has been pushing it quite a bit. And now you're starting to see Argentina do as well. Check them out. Fight the stigma. You're not going to get an incredibly unbelievable box of wine, right? They're not putting Chateau Neuf de Pape in boxes yet, but who knows? I also wanted to, as I mentioned, talk about something else, talking about the shipping and moving wines. And that is this, that the Supreme Court is going to be hearing a case that's coming out of Tennessee. And this has to do with, I get a lot of questions about, Eric, can you ship wine? Or can I get wine shipped into Maine from out of state? Because of course, we're a state of what, 1 million people. We don't have everything that is available in America. It's just, it's never going to happen. We have access to an awful lot of really good stuff. But people still want, can I get this out? There's a wine that's only available in, North Carolina and Florida or something like that. So what's happening is there's a very large commercial concern called Total Wine. I'm sure if you've been in other big states with big populations, you've heard of Total Wine. They want to move into Tennessee, and Tennessee has a law that you can't own a place if you're or have a store in Tennessee if you're owned for out of state, an out of state entity. And Total Wine is fighting that. And one of the big portions of this is their ability to ship across state lines. And essentially, when Prohibition ended, all the states got to decide what they wanted to do. So it's all state controlled, as I'm sure has come up before. And there was a couple of states that became what we call control states. Maine is one of them. So you used to have to buy all your stuff basically through state stores. And then gradually some of those control states have privatized it at least a little. Maine is an example of that. For a long time, there was just wine and beer, and you still had to buy spirits from the state. Now everybody can buy that. Pennsylvania, another classic example of a control state, and Tennessee as well. So if the Supreme Court hears this, it may decide for the entire country on a federal level that you cannot block interstate shipping of alcohol, which would mean I can ship to other states. It also mean other states can ship here. I just find it very interesting, and it's something that I'm sure people will want to keep an eye on, because it's going to affect the entire industry, in all of the states. So just kind of interesting. With my remaining time, I will talk quickly about, as we were saying, it's Musar Week. So tomorrow we are pleased to be bringing in Elizabeth George from Broadbent Selections. Broadbent Selections is headed up by Bartholomew Broadbent, who is the son of Michael Broadbent, who discovered Chateau Musard in 1977 at a World Wine Fair. Serge Hochard, who passed away in 2014 but owned Musard, was there trying to hawk his wares because, as you may be aware, there was a massive civil war raging in Lebanon, where Chateau Musard is. And so Serge went from selling 97% of his product in-country to basically having no customers, and so went to this wine fair, got discovered, and now is one of the most famous wine estates in the world. And I invite you to find out why. There's still a couple tickets, very few, left for tomorrow's event at 6 p.m. at CoSpace, where we will do an in-depth tasting and eating of Lebanese food provided by Mediterranean Cuisine by TS. And then on Thursday will be our regular monthly tasting, also featuring Elizabeth George and featuring the Musard Jeune, so the young wines of the Chateau Musard estate, as well as their two other higher-end wines. So don't miss that. If you miss tomorrow, you will not regret it. If you like history, if you like wine, if you just like really interesting things, it's one of the more unique stories in the entire beverage industry. So I hope you can join us for at least one, if not both of those things. And, you know, we'll keep trying to be, you know, bring you cool events like that as we approach our 10th anniversary of owning the store, which is coming up in November. And then the 20th anniversary of the store, which will be the next year. So I'm going to try to do some more interesting things like this and bring the world of wine to Bangor. But for now, I will see you all next week.
Thank you, Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor.